and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. Or as the Living Bible puts it, for you know what they're going through. Look, you're a physical person yourself. You can try to imagine what it's like to have your feet beaten. No one likes to try to think about, wants to think about that, but the reality is people are going through that today. And Scripture tells us to do what we can to put ourselves in that place. I understand that's painful. I understand that's not easy, but it's what God asks us to do, to try to empathize with them. I have a very short message here today because I don't want to take up the time talking. I want to get for you all to spend time praying. But I did have a short message, and it was not God's will for it to be on paper in your bulletin, because I came here this morning and there was no toner in the copier. So nothing for you to take notes on, but there are just four quick points. First is that, we are praying today mainly for believers. I want you to keep that in mind. As Janet mentioned, when we meet on Wednesday nights, we pray for unreached, unengaged people groups. We pray that the gospel would spread throughout the whole world, and that's a perfectly fine prayer to pray. But in particular this morning, we want to focus our prayer on our brothers and sisters in Christ for the strength they need to endure what they're going through. The first request of persecuted Christians is not what you think it might be. Get me out of this. Get me some relief. I want comfort. No, it's pray for us for strength. And you have in your bulletin, I'll call to your attention, there is a bulletin insert with 10 specific things. As I'm going to direct you in just a few minutes to start praying, you're really not going to have time to go through meticulously and pray all 10 things. Everybody in your group, pray all 10 things for all three countries. We just don't have the time for that. So I just want to urge you to be led by the Spirit. Whatever God prompts you to pray for the Christians in that particular country, off that list, then I want to encourage you to pray that. I want you to just take a look at this woman on the screen. I don't see anybody in here that looks like her. We're mostly kind of lighter skinned people. And I don't see anyone dressed with a colorful dress like that. And, you know, we can look at a situation like that and just, that's just kind of weird. This lady is a foreigner. She speaks a weird language. She eats weird food. She, you know, I don't know, maybe she smells a weird way. I don't know, but it just can seem so foreign. And I know, perhaps you've heard me share before, that during our years when we were missionaries in Poland, I loved to convince the Poles, the Polish Christians, look, I have a stronger kinship with you because you're a believer in Jesus Christ than I do with my fellow Americans who don't know Christ. Maybe there's someone who lives across the street from you who doesn't know Christ. They're a Buckeye fan, you're a Buckeye fan. They traditionally have a cookout on Memorial Day, you have a cookout on Memorial Day. They drive a certain kind of car, you maybe drive a similar kind of car. They have a lawn, looks kind of like your lawn. And so you just feel this kind of, we're kind of together. No, in reality, you have more in common with this sister in Christ than you do with your own neighbors who dress like you, talk like you, look like you, eat like you, act like you, in some things at least, but aren't Christians. Look what Jesus said. This is a tough pill to swallow in some ways. This is from Mark chapter 3. And the context here, Mark 3:20 says, and he came home and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. Now that's a little overboard. Wouldn't you say? Jesus is so busy, he's not even eating. Oh, come on. We all have our priorities. We know it's important, don't we? And eating is pretty high on the list. And so his family realized, dude, he's like overboard here. They're not even eating. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he's lost his senses. Our brother, our nephew, whatever it was, Mary thinking, my son Jesus has just gone off the deep end. We got to go get him. And so at the end of the chapter, it says in verse 31, then his mother and his brothers arrived. And standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So please understand, these people, the people that you'll be praying for today, they are your family. You think, well, no, they're not really. Yeah, they really are. More so, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I could ask, how many of you have family members that don't know Christ? Sibling? No, okay. That's all right. You put up your hand. That's fine. I could put up my hand as well in terms of siblings and so on, extended family. And I feel close to my siblings. I love my brothers and sisters. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, sorry, my thing is set. It keeps jumping to the next slide. I'll get this tech thing down someday. But I want you to understand, these people are our family. They're our brothers and sisters. So we're to pray for Christians around the world who are in prison for their faith. Not only those who are in prison, but those who are suffering. That God will strengthen, protect, and encourage them. Picture of people who presumably are having a baptism deep in the jungle because they don't want to be discovered. We're having a baptism here. Right out, anybody, there are people who come in this morning. There are people here this morning that I've never met. I don't know them. You could be from the police department. But in some countries, you can't do, or you, the Christians don't do this because secret police come in, sort of acting like one of the congregation, report them to the other police, and the next meeting, people, the police come in with billy clubs beating people. So we're going to have a baptism here in a few minutes. And we have the freedom to do that, but there are countries where that doesn't happen. Pray for God's protection of pastors and evangelists who share the gospel in restricted and hostile nations. I don't know about you. I look at that picture and I think, I don't think that guy who's, he doesn't look too open. He's like, I don't know. They're sharing the gospel with people, some of whom are open and others like, oh, I'm going to report this person. You know? So they're doing a risky business. Pray for the provision and encouragement of Christians whose family members were killed for living out their faith in Christ. There are families without fathers now, without brothers, without sisters, because their family members were killed for their faith. Pray for Christian converts from Islam who must decide when and how to tell family and friends they are now followers of Jesus. 70% of the countries on the top 50 watch list. We're only going to pray for 27 of those countries this morning amongst all of our groups. Total, most 70% are, it's because of Islam that the gospel is opposed and attacked. So people in those countries really have to be careful about how they share and who they share with. Pray for the provision and safe delivery of Bibles to believers in hostile and restricted nations. This picture reminds me of when we were in Nepal. I saw little old ladies with these basket things strapped like their heads, and they're carrying bricks. People just, you know, really work hard in some of these countries. And so here are a picture of people hauling Bibles to places where they're needed. Pray that persecuted Christians will boldly witness for him, even to their persecutors. Here's the depiction we had of Richard Wurmbrand telling this guy who had beat him, I'm praying for you. Could you do that? Or would you just hate with a passion the person who was beating you? I don't know how. I've never been in that situation. I sure hope. I would love that person. And these believers need strength from God to love those who are persecuting them. There are Christians behind bars in many countries in this world. There are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then pray that Christians in free nations like us would choose to stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters and really decide to obey Hebrews 13, that we're going to let ourselves emotionally go there in our minds and try to imagine what it's like and come alongside them in prayer. Picture of obviously a Westerner who has come to help out. I think this was a situation in Nigeria where Muslim radicals had bombed a Christian church, and this little boy with no feet. So lastly, Two quick points. You know this. God answers prayer. Is it really going to matter what you say today? Well, if you pray in faith, yeah, it will matter. When we pray, do you realize that when we pray, we move the hand that moves the world? Isn't that awesome? We move the hand that moves the world. Archimedes said, give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum and I'll move the world. You don't need a long lever and a fulcrum. You have a connection with God through Jesus Christ. You can affect what's going on in North Korea, in Somalia, in Afghanistan, the three top persecutors of Christians. So without me talking anymore, I'm going to shut it down myself and I'm going to turn it to you. And this is what I want you to do. I mentioned those three countries. North Korea, I just wish I had more time to detail some of the horrific things that are happening in North Korea to your brothers and sisters. It's horrific. North Korea, Somalia, and Afghanistan. So all of you are going to be praying for at least one of those three. So find in your packet either one of those three countries. You have either a North Korea or a Somalia or an Afghanistan. And let's make sure to give enough time to pray for these believers. They really need our prayers. So we're gonna take the time to do this. I would encourage everybody in the group. Well, your leader will ask people to read the different sections so you kind of know what you're praying for. So let's take the first chunk of our time and all kind of call us back together when it's time to shut down, praying for the first country and go to the second country. So stay on track with your first country until I let you know it's time to shift to the next one. Is that clear? So take time to read through. Have someone in your group read through the different sections so you all grasp what it is you're praying for, and then jump into praying, and I'll call us back together. Okay? Go.